ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Being merciless and cruel, I have forsaken all my relatives and friends. Therefore, like a person who has killed a Brahmin, I do not know to which planet I shall go, either after death or while breathing. Daivam api anritam vyakti. Durga took birth from them. Because Devaki bore Durga Devi in her womb, Kamsa praised both Devaki and her husband. Asura is very devoted to the goddess Durga, Kali, and so forth. Kamsa, therefore, truly astonished, appreciated the exalted position of his sister and brother-in-law. Durga is certainly not under the laws of nature, because she herself is the controller of the laws. Ordinary living beings, however, are controlled by these laws. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Consequently, none of us are allowed to live together for any long period. By speaking in this way, Kamsa tried to pacify his sister and brother-in-law. Om agyan timidandasya. Gyananjana chalakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmoi sri guru ve namah. Had to suffer for many, many years at the hands of Kamsa. He stole away their freedom. He stole away their rights to kingdom. And he even went to the extent... Can everyone hear? Of murdering their children. Of course, we know this is all being done by the supreme divine will of God. Because not even a single blade of grass can move without the permission of Lord Sri Krishna. And Lord Sri Krishna is perfect. Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam. He is perfect and complete. What does it mean that he is complete? That means everything, from the minutest detail to the very, very greatest manifestations. They are all thoroughly under the supervision and the knowledge, the awareness of Krishna. He knows everything. He knows everyone, everywhere, at all times. Vedaham samatitani varatamana nichajana bhavashani chabhutani mamtu vedana kashtana. Krishna says, I know everything, past, present, and future. I know every living being. This is what it means that he is complete. The fact that he is perfect does not give us real solace unless we understand that he is perfect and complete. Just like in the Bible it is said, be perfect as your Father in heaven. By surrendering to Krishna, we can become perfect. We can never become complete. That is the difference between the Jivatma and the Paramatma. As part and parcel, Mamayavamso Jivaloke, we have the same perfect qualities of Krishna. And when we utilize our God-given independence in the surrendered loving service of the Lord, then due to our connection with the perfect, we take on the qualities of the perfect. One who is surrendered to the Lord is perfect. One who simply executes the will of the Lord is perfect. But we can never be complete. That is what it is meant by achintya abheda bheda tattva, that we are simultaneously one and different than Krishna. We are by constitutional nature perfect, but never complete. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yogadati kaman. You can never say the part is complete. Only the whole is complete. So Krishna is perfect and complete. And in his completeness, that means nothing is outside of him. Have you ever wondered, what does it mean when it says Krishna is complete? Nothing is outside of him. Nothing for even the minutest moment, lava matra, even a twelfth of a second, nothing, anywhere, is ever not within his conscious awareness. And his supreme will is infallible. That is what is meant by complete. So, when a devotee suffers, like Vasudeva and Devaki, we can understand that Krishna has a divine plan. Mahatmanastu mam bharata daivim prakritim ashrita. Those great devotees who give their lives to me, who worship me with devotion, they are always under the influence of my divine energy. They are not under the laws of material nature. A materialistic person who is not surrendering to the will of the Lord is simply under the influence of the laws of material nature, which is conducted by the three modes. And the interaction of those three modes of nature, sattva-guna, rajaguna, tamoguna, are constantly bringing him either happiness or distress, pleasure or pain. Just like the winter and summer seasons, they come and they go. Similarly, pleasure, pain, honor, dishonor, happiness, distress, they all come and go. But my devotee, Krishna says, is not disturbed by these things. He fixes his consciousness on what is permanent. That is devotional service. Such a person is under the influence of the internal energy. That means whatever takes place in his life is not conducted by the laws of nature, but is directly being executed by Krishna. Just like the greatest astrologer in all of India, amongst astrologers, is this one man from Bangalore. He's considered the highest authority of the Bhrigu Samhita. And I remember some of our devotees went to him, and what he says is, you write down three questions before you come in. They come in with three questions in their hands. He just looks in Bhrigu Samhita. Not by his own mystic power, but just by looking in Bhrigu Samhita, he tells them what is their questions and what is their answers before they even tell him. And for every devotee he comes in, he says, please understand, whatever I tell you doesn't apply to you, as long as you're surrendering to Krishna. If you're surrendering to Krishna, none of these influences have anything to do with your life. If you don't surrender to Krishna, then this is what's going to happen. So he said, so Vaishnava is really, there's no need for all this. And what does that mean? That means he's learned in the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Daivim prakriti mashyata. Krishna says, my devotees are under my divine potency. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. The materialists are thoroughly under Krishna's arrangement. The Paramatma in the heart knows every thought, every word, he sees every deed, and he's giving them a karmic reaction. And for a devotee, the Paramatma is watching, but he is not simply putting them into the laws of karma, he is personally supervising what they need for their purification. Or for those who are pure, what they need to help execute their mission. And here we have Kamsa. He was a great demon. When he saw the beautiful form of Sri Durga Devi, the child of his own daughter, of his own sister, he came to the realization at this time that he had made a great mistake. Trusted this omen of providence, and it caused him to act sinfully. But now he realized in his own mind that he was cheated. Not really that he was cheated, but that he cheated. He was cheated by his own envy and lust. And now he is lamenting. Similarly, in this material world, even in today's society, when the asura class of men are defeated by material nature, oftentimes they become very humble. They become very repentant. But because of their asura mentality, as soon as things change, they immediately forget their humility, they immediately forget their repentance, and again they behave demoniacally. And that is what we are about to read in the Bhagavatam. Although Kamsa became almost like a devotee, he was begging forgiveness, he was speaking all nice philosophy, he was willing to not only release Devaki and Vasudeva, but give them support and all sorts of assistance. He was actually dealing with them lovingly because he had been smashed by Maya. Durga Devi herself appeared and said, "You are doomed." So he became very humble. He admitted his mistake. For a materialistic person to admit a mistake is a very difficult thing to do. We love to blame everyone for our mistakes. We hate to take credit for our mistakes. We love to take credit for what we have done or what we would like people to think we have done, although we haven't done. But it's painful to the heart to admit our mistakes, to admit our faults, to admit our shortcomings. But Kamsa here, such a proud, arrogant, and demoniac person, you could imagine seeing the goddess Durga, what it is doing to him. It is smashing his pride to such an extent that he's actually willing to admit that he has made a mistake. He's willing to admit that he's sinful and he's wrong. What is the difference between a devotee and a person who is not in this devotional consciousness? When things change for the good, a devotee remains humble, remains grateful, and a demon goes back to his old ways. we find in the birth of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jagannath Mishra, Sachi Mata, they were in a similar situation as Devaki and Vasudev. They had one child after another. Kamsa did not come to kill, but each one of them died during their infancy. One after another, year after year after year, every time they had a child, it died. Just after birth. So they began to worship Lord Narayan. And of course they always worshiped Narayan. But they were appealing to Lord Narayan to bring a divine child into this world. And what happened is this. When one child was born, Sri Vishwarup, he was such a beautiful child. Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra felt so grateful to Lord Narayan that they increased their worship. Just see the quality of their faith. First of all, the average person, if he was worshiping the Lord and his desire was being frustrated again and again and again, he would give up the worship. What is the use of this worship? We're worshipping Narayan, our first child dies. We're worshipping Narayan, our second child dies, our third child dies, our fourth child dies, our fifth child dies, our sixth child dies. How many of you would continue worshipping Narayan? A materialistic person would say, who needs this Narayan? Everyone else around me is not worshipping and they're having children. Right? My neighbors, my friends, my relatives, they're not devotees and they're having all nice children. I'm giving my life to Lord Narayan and worshipping. You understand, in Navadvip Dham, no one was a devotee practically. There was a handful of devotees. There was Advaitacharya, there was Srivas Thakur, there was Mukunda. They were younger. They weren't even existing then. It was just Advaitacharya and Srivas. Maybe one or two others. All others were gross materialists. I mean, gross. They were following tantricism, atheism. And they were all having beautiful, nice children. One after another after another. And here's practically the only devotees in Navadvip. They're worshipping Narayan, and every one of their children is dying in infancy. So it would have been very easy for them to just go with the flow of society. In Navadvip, it was such an atheistic place, such a place filled with black magic and worshiper of various demigods for terrible material things. It was horrible that everyone criticized the Vaishnavas. That you people are crazy. Kolavecha Sridhar used to chant the holy names. They used to criticize him, condemn him, think that, what is this? What is your God doing for you? Look at what we have. We worship the demigods. Look at what we have. You have nothing. Huh? It's a test of faith. Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi, every time their child died, they just humbled themselves and increased their worship to Lord Narayan. Their faith was never shaken. That is the quality of a devotee. Ah, but then what happened? Then they had the most beautiful, after so many years of utter frustration of all their desires, they remained faithful and loyal and devoted to Lord Narayan. And after all this, they finally had a son. Such a beautiful, wonderful son as Vishwarup. So a materialistic person, he worships God. When it's not fulfilled, he gives up his God. And he tries to make some material arrangement. Worshipping God just doesn't work, so I'm going to make some other arrangement. That's material consciousness. And the other side of material consciousness is I worship God when I'm in need, but then when I'm not in need anymore, then I just don't need God anymore. Thank you very much, Haribo. I'll see you when I need you again. It's like a doctor. How many people, when they're feeling healthy and nice, go to the doctor? Very few. People go when they're sick. Otherwise, they don't want to go to the doctor because they know they have to pay him, right? We don't want to pay this man unless we absolutely have to. So people, they don't want to worship God because worshiping God means sacrifice. It means you have to pay some sacrifice. So when I'm in desperate need, then it's worth it. But when everything's going well, no need. So Jagannath Mishra, Sachi Mata, when they had their beautiful son, Vishwarup, who was the embodiment of all good qualities, he was effulgent, healthy, everything a parent could possibly want in a child. What did they do? They were so thankful to Lord Narayan that they increased their worship. They increased their puja in every way, celebrating his mercy upon them. This is transcendental consciousness. Whatever happened, whether the greatest atrocities took place in their life, the total frustration of their desires, or whether the ultimate fulfillment of their desires, they were unchanged. They were constantly with faith and devotion, increasing their loyalty, their worship to Lord Narayan. This is a devotee. A materialistic person, his faith is completely determined by his physical circumstances. If things go my way, then yes, Krishna, you're very good. If things do not go my way, then maybe I should think about some other way of life. Or if things are not going right, I worship Krishna in desperation, but then when things are right, then no need. No need. So here, I thought it's 7:45 the curtains go. What? Devaki, they are exhibiting this very, very divine quality. In happiness, distress, pleasure, pain, frustration, or success, they are remaining always pure in heart, always faithful, and always in a mood of being the divine servant of the Lord. But Kamsa, we see in his frustration and fear, now he is becoming very pious. But what happens in the future? As soon as again he feels that there's some fear in his life, all of his piety is thrown away, cast aside. And again he accepts the same materialistic, demoniac mentality. He retracts all of his forgiveness, again puts Devaki and Vasudev in jail, again waits for a child to kill. This is the difference between a demoniac mentality and a devotional mentality. And it is a very, very great lesson for all of us. We have to be very careful. When Kamsa saw Durga Devi, who was factually his own worshipable Lord, Kamsa was a devotee of Lord Shiva, you know. If you go to Mathura today, there is a place called Rangabhumi. That is the place where the wrestling arena was, where Chanura and Mustika wrestled with Krishna. Just outside the gate is where Kuvalayapita, the great elephant demon, was killed by Krishna. But his name is Pipaleshwar Mahadev. Pipaleshwar Mahadev is a very, very ancient Shivalinga, which was personally worshipped by Lord Shiva. And why did he worship Shiva? For the death of Krishna. He was worshipping Shiva with great, great fervor and very, very opulent offerings, praying to Shiva, please kill Krishna. Please help me kill Krishna. Similarly, Ravan also worshipped Shiva to kill Ram. So Kamsa, he knew the Vedas. He did not develop such mystic power to be powerful like 10,000 elephants simply by weightlifting, or by jogging or working out. He developed this great power by studying the Vedas and performing the mystic sacrifices ordained in the Vedas to gain these powers, by worshipping Shankar and by worshipping Durga Devi, who he knew was the eternal consort of his worshipable Lord, Shiva. So when he saw his own worshipable goddess born of Devaki, you could imagine how much he shocked him. Here he is torturing Devaki and Vasudev year after year after year, killing their children. And then from her womb comes the supreme worshipable object of his life, Goddess Durga, who's the wife, the consort, and the beloved of Shiva, who he worships day and night to fulfill all of his desires and who he gained all of his strength from. It was a very embarrassing situation for him. That, my God, this lady I've been torturing so much is the mother of Durga. She come from her womb. So in this way, he was very astonished, very shocked, and very repentant, begging forgiveness. But even under this scene, he was so blinded by envy and lust that he easily forgot the whole situation and again became demoniac and again tried to kill the children of Devaki and again persecuted them. When one becomes too much covered by the cloud of material attachment, one's common sense for devotional service cannot remain. Krishna says in Gita, Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam tayaparita cetasam vyavashayatmaka buddhir samadho na buddhiyate. For those who are too much attached to material opulence and sense gratification, the resolute determination for devotional service cannot take place. Kamsa is such an example. Even his devotional service to Shiva and Durga, he had no resolution. His mind was simply being controlled by lust and envy and pride. And although the truth was spoken to him directly by his own worshipable goddess who gave him personal darshan, his enviousness, his fear, his pride, like a cloud, covered over, and he forgot even that. Can you imagine such a scene as Durga appearing in the sky, effulgent like thousands of suns, saying, Kamsa, I am the daughter of Vasudev and Devaki. Why you are torturing them? You are such a fool. Your providence is to be killed by this other child. He's already born. He became like this. I'm very sorry, please. But he forgot even that darshan. He forgot even those words. Because his own material desires, his own attachment were so prominent. So therefore, material attachment is the greatest enemy because it disturbs our resolute determination for devotional service. And in this world, to become Krishna conscious, you have to be determined. You have to have resolute purpose in your life. Otherwise, your mind and senses are going to be swept away by the illusory energy. You have to be fixed. Your faith has to be strong. You have to be determined to be willing to do anything or everything for the purpose of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it's not possible. There's too many forces against you. That is why practically everyone in this world, in the name of religion, they're not really religious at all. They are a little pious. Maybe they have kirtan, maybe they have bhajan, puja. But the resolute determination to surrender and to serve is not there. Therefore, their advancement is very, very minimal. Vyavashayatmaka bhutira eke hakuru nandana. Krishna says, those who are on this path that I am giving, they are resolute in purpose, they are determined, their aim is one. Those who are not on this path are irresolute. Their intelligence is many-branched. This verse is very clearly being personified by Vasudev and by Kamsa. The first part of the verse, Vyavashayatmakaruhi Budhir, Ekeha Kuru Nandana. Vasudev is the perfect personification. Those who are on this path, they are resolute in purpose, their determination and aim is one, no matter what happens. It doesn't matter. Hell or high water, they remain faithful lawyer and go on with my service. But those who are not on this path, Krishna says, their intelligence is many branch. That is Kamsa. Accepting, rejecting. Acts like a demon, Durga appears, he becomes very devotional, but because of his material attachments, he cannot maintain that dignity of consciousness. So we must understand material attachments for anything, for anyone, is the greatest obstacle to spiritual life. And what does it mean, material attachment? We say that we should be attached to the association of devotees. If you are not attached to the association of devotees, you cannot be attached to Krishna. Is that a material attachment? It depends on what the association of devotees is doing with you. Rupa Goswami says, accept things favorable devotional service and reject things unfavorable. That association which is helping us to come nearer and dearer to the Lord, that association we should be very attached to. But any association, even if it's in the so-called guise of a devotee, if it is distracting one's consciousness away from Krishna, away from the order of Guru, then it should be abandoned, it should be rejected. It is a material attachment. Attachment between husband and wife. If that relationship is helping you together serve the order of Guru, then that attachment is very healthy and very good. But as soon as that attachment becomes a stumbling block to devotional service, it takes away all our resolute determination for Krishna consciousness. That attachment will be our ruination. What to speak of for friends, even for children. We should be attached to nothing except what is favorable for my devotional service. And we should become detached from anything that's unfavorable, whoever they are, wherever they are, whatever it is. That is Krishna's warning. And if you don't follow this principle, if you are attached to sense gratification, whatever form it comes, if you are attached to material opulence for your own pleasures, for your own aggrandizement, then you cannot be determined for devotional service. And after Kamsa speaks all these words to Vasudev, what is Vasudev's conclusion? It is said in the Bhagavatam that he left. He was a free man. He was given all privileges, all rights. And he left that prison with Kamsa's support, apologies, and very, very affectionate blessings. But what was Kamsa thinking as he left? I don't believe this man for anything. I have no trust or faith in this man because he is material attached, because he cannot control his senses. Vasudeva was thinking, you cannot ever trust anyone who is material attached, whoever they are, whatever they say, because their minds are always in the turbulent ocean of the dualities of life. And according to their sense perception, they're covered over in at any given moment. This was Vasudev's realization. I cannot trust Kamsa ever. Because he is not resolute in purpose. Because he is attached to sense enjoyment. This is very instructive. The only people we could really put our faith and trust in are those people who are truly endeavoring to control their senses in Krishna's service. And therefore, to take shelter of the lotus feet of such persons, that is the greatest benediction, that is the greatest wealth in our whole life. And to develop and to aspire to develop these qualities that Vasudeva and Devaki are so wonderfully exhibiting, and to be very much carefully on guard to avoid the qualities of Kamsa that are so deeply bedded within us, that is the path of devotional service. Is there any questions? Yes?
If you really want to advance in Buddhism, that requires strong, strong, strong determination. And it should be completely fixed up. Now, this material life, there are forces all around us just to make us weak in our determination. And at every point of time, our Buddhism will completely disturb.
You have to associate with people who are determined. Otherwise, there's no possibility. When Srila Prabhupada came to the West, all the enthusiasm, all the determination, all the faith came by seeing his faith and determination. Nobody else knew anything. By seeing his faith, we developed faith. By seeing his determination, we developed determination. The material world is a very bewildering place. Unless we take shelter of someone who has faith and determination in Krishna consciousness, there's no chance of us surviving spiritually. But if we simply associate with, look up to, and receive this nourishment of faith from the great souls, then there's no danger in our life. There can be no impediments in our life. Arjuna was completely bewildered. Where did he get his determination from? From hearing from Krishna. Faith comes through the process of hearing. By hearing from people who actually have faith, we develop faith. That was the process in Bhagavad Gita. Any other questions? You don't have to judge. All you have to do is go on with your service. And you'll know if you're attached if that thing is an impediment in your service and you can't give it up. At New Vrindavan, at one point, so many devotees were getting automobiles. And they were thinking, I'm using this for Krishna's service. So how do you know whether you're actually attached to Krishna's service or you're attached to enjoying the automobile? How do you know? When he says, I don't want you to use the automobile, right? That means it's not anymore your service to use it. If you're still attached, that means you're attached to your sense gratification, to what it's giving you. But if you're actually attached to the service it's rendering, then if he says, I don't want you to use automobile, forget this. Then you know you're detached. So you accept things that are favorable for devotional service. But as soon as Gurudev says, I don't want this anymore, are you still attached to using it? That is the question. Then you know. Money. I have my job, I'm making money. I'm not attached, I'm doing it for Krishna. When Guru says, give me some money, then the question is, are you attached to the money or are you attached to the service it can render? Then you know. Do not worry, my friend. Everything is revealed in time. Whatever attachments are in your life, you will be tested today or tomorrow. Whether you're attached to the service that is being facilitated through this particular possession or affiliation, or whether you are simply attached to the thing in and of itself. So you don't have to judge. You just go on with your service and Krishna will make everything very clear if you are sincere. The most important thing is we have to utilize everything in this consciousness of Krishna, Krishna's service. By sincerely chanting the holy name and associating with people with this faith and detachment, naturally, our whole consciousness changes. Those things that we are so much attached to now, our whole perception of those things changes into a spiritual view rather than a selfish view. Yes?
Is it that both the neophyte as well as the advanced devotee are equally under the control of Krishna, or is it that they are under the control of Krishna to the extent to neophyte is?
Krishna reveals himself as you approach him. To the degree we're holding back, Krishna holds back. To the degree we're still attached to material energy, we're still under the control of material energy. To the degree we're falling at the lotus feet of Krishna, we're under the direction of Krishna directly. A neophyte devotee is very much being influenced by both. But Krishna is ultimately directing. But an advanced devotee, because he's calling out completely and singularly for Krishna at every moment, Krishna is completely and singularly taking care of him at every moment. As you approach me, as you surrender to me, Krishna says, I reward you accordingly.